So give me about 30 minutes right here. I'm going to try to cut it down to 30 minutes. I said, try. I know a while ago you got happy when I said 4 minutes, but I just want to share with you this morning a message that's in my heart that if there was ever a time, and I think that Dan and Tracy are stepping into this, and that is the ministry of availability. They're going to be a mayor or to be a city council, pretty much you have to not shut your life down, but you have to share your life with everybody. In other words, your life as you know it changes. You know, I had the privilege of meeting with our governor just a few days ago. And I thought to myself, I'm sitting in that big old room with this big old round table. And I go, wow, that's a bad table. I love this table, man. This table's big. Well, I wish I had one of these tables. I said, where would I put it at? It'll fit the whole middle of this whole room right here. But I was thinking about it, and I was just listening to her when she was talking. And we were all talking to the pastors. And I'm just sitting like a couple of chairs away from her. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this woman has had to put her life like to the side and just serve. She's made herself available. I think sometimes we look at office and we look at pastoral, we look at leadership, and we look at them as, oh, man, what a privilege. Well, really? You know, walk in the shoes of somebody that's had to, you know, be the CEO of a company. Walk in the shoes of somebody that's in office or in ministry. And it's not that easy like everybody thinks. You see the glory, but you don't know our story. Amen? And so continue to pray for Dan and Tracy, and as they put their life out there. You could become the mayor, and then all of a sudden now everybody, half the people going to hate you and half the people going to love you. Amen. Know that Victory Outreach will love you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you just turn your Bibles there. If not, they'll put it up on the screen. But 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. I'm going to read two verses real quickly. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It reads like this. As each one has received a gift, everybody say gift. Somebody say ability. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. One more time, Lord, we pray, God, that you would just, I pray for your anointing to be strong, powerful. I pray you help me to speak with clarity. You open every ear, every heart to those in the sound of my voice today. And I pray, God, that you would remove any distractions from our mind or our midst. That, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. You'd stir our hearts, God, today, my God, to be available for you, Father, for whatever you ask us. And we love you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. When you look at the condition of our city, you heard our candidate here, he heard him say, man, I want to do something for the city. He knows there's a lot of problems. You pastor a city, you hear a lot of hurt from people. People come and say, man, look at this problem, that problem. So he understands the problems, the heartbeat of the city. And when you look at our nation, you know, all we see is certain areas of news, and we read a little bit in the paper. But our nation is in disarray, man. Our nation is decay. The convictions and the moral values of our country have decayed. I mean, think about it. We're in decay. There's some revival going on, but there's a lot of spiritual decay in our city, in our nation, and our state, and just hearing all the things that are the problems of our nation, our world. Man, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. And the addiction, the violence, when Ivy League schools, when the drug of choice in Ivy League schools is heroin, we got a problem in America. We got a problem worldwide. We have issues. The violence is so bad. There's not a night on the national news or the local news that we don't see some kind of tragedy going on. Recently, we had a tragedy in one of our Victory Outreach churches. Pastor Herb Valero from the city of Salinas. If you haven't heard, he was brutally killed by somebody that was out of their mind. He was the pastor of the church. All he was doing was praying for the guy. Been trying to reach the guy. We're living in some crazy times. The Bible says in the last days we're going to be perilous times. People will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure. People are out of their mind. There's drugs that are decaying the mind. It's not like some of you says, oh, I think I'm gonna go back to drugs. And you go back to drugs. It's not the same kind of drugs you were doing in the 70s, brother. You're 65 or 70 now. You go back to that, you'll never come back. You slipped through the door on the last one 30 years ago. Don't you dare go back to anything like that. It's not the same. The family values are almost nil. People don't even have, a lot of people don't have values. Oh, we say we have values, but the proof's in the pudding. You know, if there's fruit, then you got values. Ain't no fruit, then there's no values. So the need for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up is now. If there was ever a time, Victory Outreach, not just here locally, but nationally and internationally, I can see our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, I see them like never before. Now, you would think he'd be tapering down now, about after 50 years of ministry, that he's began to say, okay, well, you know, let the young people just take it. I'm just going to take a back seat. No, instead, he just takes on another church. Instead, he finds a new country to take. Instead, he goes starts a base in Panama saying this is going to be the very place that we're going to reach drug addicts and gang members in all of Latin America. And it seems that he knows the urgency. I wonder if we know the urgency. You see, I believe that if we've sensed the urgency, the need that there is in a city, the need that there is in a community or a nation, then we're going to do something about it. I'm thoughtful of many people that have come before us. I'm thoughtful of the many, many ministries that have come before us. Those that have went on to be with the Lord now. Those that are up in age now that have been serving. I wonder who will answer the call. I look at Billy Graham and I thank God that his son finally got it together, Franklin. Because Franklin was a rebel for a long time. Finally he got it. And he's out there having huge crusades and serving the Lord. But there was a time when he was lost. Imagine how Billy Graham must have felt. Who will ever take over this ministry? I'm thoughtful of those that have come. I wonder what my pastor thinks. I wonder what these youngsters are going to do with the ministry once I'm long gone. And I want you to know something right now, that he don't got to worry, because there's a generation of people that have the urgency in their hearts that are rising up. Huh? You see, the church must make itself available to the needs of the community. We must minister with the gift that God has given us in any way that we can. Right before those verses, it says, show love to one another and show hospitality to one another. Minister in the gift that I've given you. Every Christian has a ministry. Maybe not a church, but a ministry, a calling. And every Christian that has a calling. You may not be the greatest soul winner. You may not be leading everybody to Christ, but you'll have some part in it. You may be a United We Can member for World Missions. You could be an usher helping somebody come to the altar, or you could be a standby person right next to your leader as they lead people to Christ. But whatever role you play, play that role right. And that takes availability. Because everybody's a link in the chain of what God has called us to do. For some, it's inviting people. Each one, reach seven. The drama will do its part on Sunday, Easter, and your loved ones and your friends and your family will get saved and give their life to Jesus. I believe that. Personal testimony. When I first got saved, I walked into the firehouse that day, and everybody was looking at me like, well, you look different. You're not cussing, and you're not moving things around like you own the place and rude. What's going on with you? I don't know. It was like a Damascus Road conversion. From one day to the next, I just went from being this mean, awful, evil person. Like, hey, man, you want a cup of coffee? And they looked at me like, who's this guy? It just fell on me. But, you know, I had to give personal testimony to the guys. And nobody wanted to listen, but I didn't care. I was excited. I testified to the fire truck. I testified to every drug addict that I saw. We'd go to a call. We'd be put in a line. Hey, do you know Jesus loves you, man? And he put in the call, and he looked at me like, what? I just had an accident, but God's going to heal you. Don't worry about it. I was just testifying to everybody. I wasn't a pastor. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I knew like one scripture. Maybe. But some of you teaching and ushering and praying, and some of you administrators, and some of you are creative people, and you love kids and you have a bunch of kids and you still want to be with the kids in the nursery and like, man, crazy. But we love you because that's what you're called to do. Kids' church, recovery homes. It's not easy to go into that recovery home and lead a recovery home for men and women. It's not easy to do that. Yet we have so many people that are willing to do those kind of things. I mean, this morning I want to talk to you about availability. We're in the hour of being available. We need to, as believers, we must show ourselves available to hurting people. Your neighbors need you. Your coworkers need you. Your family needs you. You say, wow, they don't listen to me. Oh, but keep on because it won't be long until you get a knock on the door. You're a Christian, right? Yeah. Can you pray with me? My daughter just ran away. Boom, there's your open door. You can start sharing testimony about the time your daughter ran away and how you believed God for the miracle. Amen? Before God will use anybody, you have to be available first. And nobody was consistently and mightily used in the Bible. When you read every story in the Bible, unless they were first made themselves available. The moment they made themselves available, the anointing would get upon them, the freedom to do what they're supposed to be doing. Think about Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. I'm available, in other words. And God used him tremendously. Why? Because he made himself available. Mary was the mother of Jesus. There were hundreds of virgins in Galilee. But God called on her, chose her. And what did she do? She was used to birth the Son of God. Why could God use her? Because she was available. Luke chapter 1 verse 38 in the Living Bible says, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant and I am willing to do whatever he wants. May everything you said come true. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. Imagine that. She said, I need you. Okay. I think about our Navy SEALs and our special forces when they call, when they tell them, we need you for a mission. They don't say, well, let me think about it. They drop everything and they go on mission. Why? Because they're on call. Because they're available. Think about Jesus. He walked perfectly in the will of the Father. Why? Because Jesus was available. The Son of God wanted only to do the will of God. When you look at his first recorded words, it shows availability. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, what does he say? He says, and he said to them, why do you seek me? Mom and Dad, come on. You knew I'd be about my Father's business. That's all I talk about. That's all I want to learn. That's all you've been teaching me. Come on, you knew where I'd be. Why would you think I'd be lost? Come on, Mama, you know who I am. In other words, I'm available. Question to you, are you available for Jesus? Are you available when he knocks on your door, when he calls your phone, when he texts you, when he emails you, or do you put it in spam? Hello, somebody. What about the disciples? They were used tremendously. Oh, they were just ragtag guys, man. They weren't guys that were like all polished. And I mean, look at Peter. I could camp out on Peter for a minute. That guy had some problems. Peter needed the home. Like a cutting people in front of the Son of God. Cutting ears off. I mean, he already spent 3 years with Jesus. And he's still trying to cut people. You would think, by, you know, okay, Peter's got a little bit now. He got discipled. He was still messed up. But think about these guys. In Matthew, in the 4th chapter, verse 22, he says, and immediately they left their boat and their father. Not just their business, not just their job, but they left their family and said, send me, Lord. Just like Missy Blake. Little Missy Blake's over there in Panama speaking Spanish. She's an Apache from the Apache Reservation in Mescalero, but she's over there. She learned Spanish so she could minister to prostitutes there on the streets of Panama. Why? Because she said, I'm available. What about the little boy who Jesus used to feed the 5,000 people? What did that little boy have that you don't have, that I don't have? You know what? He had very little. He had some crackers and some small sardines. A couple of little sardines. They call them dink fish. They're small little fish. Imagine what that don't even get one person full. Well, maybe one of you, but not me. That's like an appetizer. And imagine, he says, let's feed these people. And one of the disciples says, well, send them off, Lord. He was trying to teach them about the availability to meet the need of the people. He said, what do we got? And he says, well, it would take a whole bunch of a salary to be able to feed these people. Send them off. They're tired. They need to go to McDonald's down the street, get a dollar menu or something. What does he say? He says, we don't got nothing. We can't give them nothing. And I wonder sometimes how we are when the Lord calls on us. We say, well, send them down to the street. They got a whole lot of money over there in that church. So what do we got? All we got is 5 crackers and a couple of sardines. Then let's pray over those sardines and let's see what God does with them. And so the little boy says, hey, you can have my lunch. I was going to eat it. It ain't much, but you can have it. And what does he do? He gives it up. All he did was make himself available and the little that he had. And the Bible says that God fed them all. The Lord miraculously, totally, completely multiplied those things. And the Bible says even after everybody ate, there was still 12 baskets left over. What does that tell you? That tells you that anything is possible when you become available. What about Paul, the Apostle Paul? When God called him, he was the worst of the worst. Horrible. He's a horrible man. Wicked man. He was putting people on the kill. He had a green light on Christians. He had paper. He had people's name on a paper. He'd hunt them down and take them to their death. Yet, God was looking for him. God called him out of nowhere. Imagine that. Sometimes you say, oh, well, you know, I got to wait till I come to be with the Lord. I can't be available until I get things right. No, God might be speaking to you right now. God maybe has been speaking to you the last couple of years. He's not waiting for you. The Bible talks about he calls who he calls. God doesn't normally, if you look at the Bible, he doesn't normally call the qualified. He usually qualifies the called. And that's what he did with Paul. Paul thought he was qualified to do what he was doing. He was a theologian. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had it all together. He was a self-righteous man. He thought he was doing the work of God. And then God just came and interrupted his miserable party. What does he tell him? He says, Saul, what are you doing, man? Let me paraphrase. He goes, what are you doing? Come on, brother. What do you really think you're doing my work? Well, who are you? I'm Jesus. I'm the one who you persecute. And the Bible says that his eyes were completely just blinded. Like scales were over him. And then once he found out who he was, he's like, huh, what do you want me to do? Paul became available. Once you have an encounter with God, man, all you can do is become available to him. It doesn't always mean that at the position of this person or that person or my position or his position. It's wherever God calls you to. At this moment right now, God is asking this couple to put their lives out there to be a mayor. That's not easy. There's going to be scrutiny that comes along with it, trials that come along with it, judgment from people that come along with it. But nonetheless, when you look at Daniel, you look at any of the characters in the Word of God that God used as a pastor. I remember one time I told Pastor Sonny, he goes, what's going on with you? You look all bummed out. I go, I am bummed out, he goes. Not everybody comes to church on Sunday. They come whenever. He goes, that's the way people are sometimes, brother. And I go, okay. He goes, well, what else is bothering you? You still seem like you're really down. I go, well, Pastor, I said, some people, they don't like me, man. He goes, really? You're not hard to like, you know? And he goes, come on, brother. He goes, you think everybody's going to like you? I go, well, yeah, I'm a nice guy, Pastor. I think I treat everybody with, you know, respect. I love people. I try to help everybody I can, you know? Okay, I'm not going to say I give everybody money, but I give most people money that I see that need money, and I help people. And he goes, yeah, you think everybody likes me? And I go, yeah, you're Pastor Sonny. You're the founder of Victory Outreach. Everybody likes you. He goes, no, they don't. I go, who are they, Pastor? Tell me who they are. I'll go have a talk with them. He goes, they don't all like me. He goes, you think everybody's going to like you? He says, you have to get a stronger skin. He says, you have to realize that there's going to be times when you make yourself available, not everybody's going to like you. But it's okay, he says, because when God calls you to something and you make yourself available, I'll provide the sweet sleep that you need no matter what. Listen to the Paul's confrontation in verse 6 of chapter 9 in the book of Acts. He says, so he trembling and astonished said to the Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, rise up or arise, he said, and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Ooh, sometimes you make yourself available and you say, I'm available. And they say, well, what do I do? He says, go over there and they're going to tell you what you're supposed to do. So, well, I want you to tell me. You're the pastor. No, they're going to tell you. Huh? Like if the mayor, he becomes a mayor, I'm going to try to go talk to him maybe at the mayor's office. Hey, mayor, I'm going to be. But you know what? Sometimes he's going to have to, somebody else is going to have to talk to me. Because I know the protocol. There's like 79 other people trying to talk to him. And just because I got to know him doesn't mean I get to do whatever I want. Because it's a protocol. You see, sometimes you want to make yourself available at your convenience. You can't make yourself available at convenience. If you're available, then you're going to go wherever and whatever and do whatever God says. See, you might say, I'm not Samuel. I'm not Mary. I'm not Jesus. I'm not a disciple. I'm not one of the disciples. I'm not Paul. I'm not the little boy with the fish. That guy's in the has way more faith than I do. I'm just me. God can't use me. I'm a nobody. Sure, he can use you. According to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, it reads, but God chose the foolish things of the world to put some to shame to the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame to the things which are mighty. In other words, he will use you no matter what. If you don't have a degree, no problem. If you have a degree, all right. It doesn't matter because the Bible says he'll choose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. We all have abilities and we all have gifts and talents and God has placed them inside of us. It's so important for you to discover our gifts. When we have our life flow, when we have our leadership and we have these classes and we have our Bible school, Veti, get part of that so you can find out what your gifts are. Discover your gifts. Discover the abilities you have. You may have something that those people don't have over there, or they don't have over there, and all God is waiting for you to do is step up and say, I am available. Many of you use your gifts, and a lot of you don't. Some of you have discovered your gifts and your purpose, and some of you don't. There is nothing worse than living your life without purpose. Honestly, there's so many people that live their life. If you ask people at the end of their life, and you do a survey, and I've read many surveys, many books about it, many articles about it. You ask people who get up in age, become 85, 90 years old, still alive, interview them, say, what would you do different if you could go back? What would you do different? And you know, many of them, a high percentage say, I would take more risks, and I would do greater things for God. I was full of fear, selfishness, and the list goes on and on. What's your greatest ability that you have? What is the greatest thing you have? One thing I've learned is that abilities that God can use are not always what we think. The smallest ability you have, God may want to mushroom that and make that a big deal in the kingdom of God. And then some of you have some phenomenal gifts in the area of your business and expertise. But you say, oh, the church can't use what I got because it's just a spiritual thing. Man, you better get something right here. You better open up your eyes. The church is, yes, a spiritual place. The church, yes, is a Christian organization. Yes, a church is something that's spiritual. But we also have practical and tangible needs. We need some wisdom sometimes. We don't got it all together all the time. What we have spiritually together, sometimes we don't have practically together. And we need everybody's wisdom. That's why everybody should make themselves available. We've been blessed with a lot of gifts and talents in this church. Paul talks about the spiritual gifts in his letter to the Corinthians, and he says, discover your gifts. Now, I love to sing. If I could be part of the worship team, I would. And I thank God for the summer times when they let me sing. We have our oldies band. I just love being part of it. Whether I can sing or not, I just love to be part of it. I can carry a tune most of the time. I can't do a lot what a lot of people can do, but, you know, I want to use whatever I have. Huh? Now, if you put a hammer in my hand, I'm going to do something wrong with that hammer. I'm not going to hit the nail right. That's just not my gifting. I'd like it to be, I want it to be, but put a paintbrush in my hand, it's a whole Bible, different Bible study. I paint just as good with my left hand as I do my right hand, because when you start painting at the age of like 9 years old, like labor laws with your dad, you know, then, you know, breaking every labor law there is, when you start doing that stuff, yeah, you know, you become a pretty good painter in 40 years. But that's about it. I can't lay carpet. It's like beyond Greek and Hebrew for me. I can't, there's a lot of things I can't do. But you put me on a stage, you put me in front of some junkies or some gang members, but you put me in front of a mayor, and I'll share gospel. One thing I know, I make myself available for the gospel whoever, whenever. What about you? Are you available? You're clapping, but are you available? So God uses our gifts and our talents, but he's looking for something much more important in our lives. You say, well, I thought that you were talking about. You're talking about, no, something more important. I believe that God is mainly looking for at least three things. Number one, and I'll be real brief if you want to come to the keyboard, is the first ability is dependability. Just being dependable, you know, just being dependable sometimes can be more important and it can be more valuable than all the knowledge in the world. What good it is you, if you have five scientists and they're all arguing about what they're trying to do, but you know what? Not one of them are available to break it down. You got one person available that says, you know what? Hold on. Let me break it down. You say, oh, I understand why they're arguing now. See, dependability. We should be so dependable on the Lord. I mean, think about it. Can God count on you to be faithful to serve him and dependable no matter what you go through? Because whether you're sick in body, listen, these days if you're sick and you can't go to work or you can't go to church or you can't be at a function, or you can live through it through social media. You can look at it. You can text somebody and say, I can't be there. I want to be there. Give me the list of things. So while I'm homesick, I will go over these things and I'll give you a report back at work. There's so many ways that you can still participate in dependability. That's how I know. And Kyle and Christine are over in Florida right now. Yesterday, I said, hey, we need Kyle to do this. And I forgot for a minute where he was at. And then one of the brothers texted him right then. I go, oh, man, they're over there in Disney. Bothering this guy. And he's one of the most dependable guys I know. Literally, one of the most dependable men that I know. If I ask him to do something, I don't care what it is, where he's at. So I told him, man, we should. And then the brother I asked to do that, he goes, Pastor, I got an email from him. It's done. I'm like, where is he sitting? He must be sitting in the coffee shop there in Disney World or something like that, still working. I'm saying, man, go on. If you're going to be there, have vacation. But he's dependable. That's the way. That's who he is. Can we be trusted to do whatever the Lord says to do? If we're dependable, we can be used by God at any given moment, in any place, at any time, according to his purpose. I once read this. It was about fatherly advice given to his son. He said this, be so dependable that if you say you will be someplace and you don't show up, that they'll send flowers. Not nice flowers. I mean, like, you must have died because there's no way you're not missing. You're just too dependable. The second thing that is so important for us, and that is the second ability, is reliability. Just being reliable. Dependability is one thing, but reliable. Can we be counted on? Is really what it means. Really the definition of being reliable. Can we be counted on? Can you be counted on? That when God says, I need you. And then we say, I'm available. Okay, I'm available now. But in your availability, is there dependability? Is there reliability? Something to say about people who are reliable that can be counted on. I mean, it's hard to do without them sometimes. A good definition of reliability is somebody who is able to give the same results successively, continually, always. See, this person's reliable. I mean, love it when there's people who say, how long have you been here? 27 years. There's a gentleman that works at the Frontier. His name is Jesus. How many go to the Frontier? How many go to the Frontier? How many love the Frontier? He's been there for like 28 years. 28 years. He recently, I think his 25 year, they gave him a Rolex. He's a busboy. He's been a busboy, but I'll tell you something right now. That guy gives over 50 to 60% of his income to the Lord. He gives tithes to his church, but he sows in ministries, and he sowed into this building. He sold $400 bills when we found out we're in this building where they're eating. He goes, hey, Pastor, did you get a building yet? Like, yeah, we're getting one. We're about to make the down payment. Man, pray for us. He goes, okay. He came back and he put $400 in my hand. He goes, put this in the building fund. He sowed before any of you did. I mean, well, you had sowed from the years past, but I'm talking about the first seed was his seed. My granddaughter was with me from California. It was her last meal before going back to California. You know, you got to go get some tortillas, green chili stew, whatever. Maybe carnaval burrito. You know. She's sitting there. She goes, Tata, she goes, how much does he make? I go, he probably makes about like $17,000 a year, I think he told me. He just, very minimum. Oh, my God, give him the $400 back. I go, I can't, babe. Why? That's so mean. She goes, I go, you don't get it. His purpose is to sow. He serves everybody. His bosses love him. He's been working here 28 years. He's reliable, not only to his boss. His boss loves him. He gave him a Rolex. I don't got a Rolex. I've been here 27 years. He got a Rolex. This guy right here is reliable, not only to his boss. He's reliable when the Lord says, give that man $400 of your income because I want to show you something. I want it to be a magnet for the other seed that needs to come in for this building. And he just obeys, yes, sir, I'm available. Goes and gives it. That's reliability. That's generosity. That's giving. Yes, it's all that. But I'm talking about reliability. I can't imagine what, you know, it's kind of hard to talk about Coach Alford because he kind of turned his back on us. But who would it? Come on. I love the Lobos, but they ain't even in the NIT right now, man. Who wouldn't want to be third in the nation? Who wouldn't want to be playing, go to the Sweet 16? Who wouldn't want to coach their own son at one of the most prestigious colleges in the nation? Give the guy a break for this week. The next week, go back to like, he left us. He's not reliable. But I'm thoughtful of these coaches in the NCAA right now. They have players on their benches. They have the starting five. They got the sixth man. They got the seventh man. They got people that are on the team. They've been there with them, and they're available. Question is, if they put them in a heavy situation, are they reliable? Are they dependable? Can they make free throws consistently? Because now there's 30,000 people watching and millions around the country, and people's brackets depend on whether they, and not to mention the hundreds of millions of dollars of gambling that's going on in that, that's illegal, and even the legal stuff. The whole world is watching them, and you got to think, the coach says, come here, Johnny, I need you to go in there, I need to defend this guy, we're down 5 points, can I depend on you? Yes. Has he seen him be dependable in the past? Yes. That's why he's calling on, because he knows that guy's not a starter, but he's reliable and he can go in and he can stop that guy from scoring. I can't imagine the pressure. When you think of one who is really reliable, you have to completely have confidence in that person. They can be trusted to do exactly what has been asked of them every time. Consistently. That's what reliability is. My question is, does God see you as reliable at that prayer moment in the morning? Does he see as reliable that when he says, tell that one about Jesus? Does he see reliable when there's a call and says, we need volunteers? Come on, even if you don't do it all the time, we need it for Easter Sunday. Come on. Are you reliable? And thirdly and lastly, the third ability, I believe this is one of the most important, that's availability. That's what we're talking about. Are we available? Do we make ourselves available? Or are we cool and we just like our lives and we want our word and that's it? And hey, you know, let somebody else do it. No. If you're a believer, then you have a gift inside of you. And if you have a gift inside of you, you know that old song, you know, that old song? Put it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Put it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. You can't put that gift. What's a bushel, Pastor? Let me give you the Living Bible. Let me give you a contemporary English version or something. Don't put it under a basket. Don't hide it someplace. Don't put it in your closet. You pull that gift out and use it. It could be this is the season for you to pull your gift out. Your ability. But what good is your gift and your ability if you say, yeah, okay, I'll pull it out if you're not available? Amen? Being available is to be present and ready for immediate use. Nothing gets in the way. In other words, you're on call. I think about those many nights, those many days in the firehouse, the different stations I worked at. I'm thoughtful of the times we'd be sitting there eating some really, really, really good enchiladas with a perfectly cooked egg on top of it. And the most amazing sopapillas that my wife had taught me how to make over the phone and many, many discipleships at home, and nice and thin, not masuda, and just in a bag, and all the firemen just eating with this love. Just eating. And I'm thoughtful about the many times we're sitting there and we beep, 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 beep. We look at each other, tap our boots on, get to a call, false alarm, run back, put that thing in the oven, try to eat it again, or never get back to it because it took a 5-6 hour fire or tragedy. We were on call. I signed up for that. Listen, when we say I'm available, that means we've signed up and said, God, use me in any way you can. There's an old song we used to sing in this church many years ago. It says, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my mouth. Use my heart, Lord, every part. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. And we used to sing that song. I thought to myself, Lord, do I really mean what I'm singing? If I say you can use me, you can use me, that means I'll answer the call no matter what it says. God called us to go down to El Salvador for a number of 7 or 8 years, going down there constantly. I knew it was dangerous and I knew it was notorious, but I didn't realize it was the worst place on earth for gang violence. Got there and we saw, it was fearful. I saw Pastor Joe almost be killed right before my very eyes. We were in a dangerous place. The first night we were there eating, it was shooting right next to us. They opened fire against each other right there in the restaurant. Baptized first night. But God said, are you available? And so for 8 years we went down there every time God said to go and preached, never forgetting what God did. God moved in a powerful way. Why? Because we were available. My question is, are you available? See, you can't impress God with your talent or your ability He's given you. Your greatest ability is availability. Quit running from it. See, God is looking for people. Go ahead and give the Lord a shout. God is looking for people who will say, send me. He's looking for available people who are ready for immediate use. See, we're experiencing a move of God, not just here in Victory Outreach. The Church of Jesus Christ is beginning to experience revival. Did you know that our New Mexico Praise, we have 59 churches in the state of New Mexico with 17 cities that are praying 24 hours, 7 days a week. Our day is on the 15th of every month. Can you believe that? We started 3 months ago with a group of us saying, you know what if churches just got together and just started praying? And you know what? I'm getting ready to break it out. I talked to Pastor Sonny, and he said, why don't you break it out over Victory Outreach? Can you imagine having 400, 500 churches praying 24-7 every single day, round the clock, all over the globe? Can you imagine the strongholds that will come down in cities? Can you imagine the violence not just being curbed, but being eliminated? Can you imagine the addiction, the many drug lords, and drug dealers and drug addicts being saved miraculously? Imagine what it'll do for the cities. And it won't happen without prayer. As we approach the Easter season, this is probably the greatest opportunity you have to tell somebody about the Lord, about His love. It's the greatest opportunity for you to invite somebody to church. It's the greatest opportunity. Why? Because normally people that will love God but have not made themselves available for church or ministry or anything, normally you know you can count on them coming to church on Easter or Christmas. And I'm telling you right now, if you miss that opportunity for your coworker, listen, they say that most people say, I don't go to church because nobody's ever invited me. And you're probably thinking, oh, they won't go to church with me. They won't even like my church. My pastor challenges too much. I like it. I'm challenged, but I don't think they will. You'd be surprised. They may be your ministry overseer within a year. Hello, somebody. How long has the Lord been after you? Everyone can serve in one way or another. Some of you might only serve at the Easter picnic, at the Easter egg hunt. That might be your whole time to serve for the next 6 months. Maybe family and taking care of family and job and everything. Life has got you like that. But you see, I can do this. When you make yourself available, you see what God can do with your availability. Imagine this. Somebody once said, I think it was the Archbishop of Dublin. His name was Edward McCabe. He said this in the late 1800s. The world is a better place as a result of Michelangelo not having said, I don't do ceilings. I just came back from Italy and I saw that ceiling. And I was blown away. I couldn't take pictures. I tried it. I tried to like, it wouldn't even work. God said, stop. It just blank. Maybe they have it like that. I don't know. And they just like zap your phone or something like that. But imagine if we said, I don't do children's church. I don't do ushering. I don't do parking lot. Come on. You want me to go up there and speak a little bit? I can go up there and speak. Well, let me see how you speak in the parking lot first. My dad just said, you want to preach, guys? When we were young disciples. You guys want to preach? Good. Go preach in the prisons. Go preach in the street corners. Then maybe I'll let you preach in the church. Oh, okay. God has always been on constant search. I want you to stand to your feet with me. See, God was able to use powerful people, powerful individuals in the Bible. They're no different than you and I. I think about all these great men of God, their availability, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, all these people said, I'm ready. Here I am, Lord, and they're ready to go, and all the ones we read about. But then you look at the book of Judges, and you see the book of Judges. There was nobody that really stood out. In fact, we talked about Gideon a couple of weeks ago. He said, like, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm the lowest of my clan. My clan's the lowest of all the clans. We're nothing. We're the bottom. So there wasn't a lot of extraordinary people in the book of Judges. But they were simply available. They weren't super gifted. They weren't so extraordinary that they had all these great exploits. They were just faithful and available. Listen. If you could get the mindset of saying, well, I don't have a lot of giftings and I don't have a, it's okay. But if you got if you're a saxophone player and you ain't up on this stage, shame on you. Because who wouldn't want to play to that bass line? Wow. I'm thoughtful about the gifts we have. And maybe you're afraid to use the gifts and say, well, if I do, I got to do it every week. That's a different Bible study, but you know what God is saying. Be faithful and available. Throughout both the Old and New Testament, we find accounts of men and women who were used by God in His purpose for the kingdom, the furtherance of the kingdom of God. We read how God used them, and worked things out for them, gave them balance every part of their lives. See, God will use your great skills, and it won't just be in the church. It'll be outside of the church. Listen, the church, these walls right here represent a few times we come together and get some marching orders for the week. We get our worship on, get fed. We get marching orders and we go out for all week long and we just make ourselves available to the community, to the people at your workplace. God used them just the way they were. God wants to use you just the way you are. Yeah, but I don't got it all together. So what? Who does? Who does? Who really does? Who's perfect? The moment you see somebody perfect, then when you get in their presence, you mess them all up because they're not perfect no more. Because you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. This isn't a perfect church. If it was a perfect church, guess what? It ain't perfect no more because you're here and I'm here. We messed it up. God used them just the way they were. They were dependable. They were reliable. They were available. And this took much prayer. Amen. I want you to bow your heads with me all over this place. You bow your heads. Great Billy Graham said this. There are three secrets to successful ministry. Number one is prayer. Number two is prayer. And number three is prayer. I would ask that you pray this morning with me. and ask God, Lord, where do you want to make, what do you want me to make available? Where do you want to use that gift of dependability and reliability that I have? What do you need from me? You need me to pray early in the morning? You need me to help in a certain area? What do you want from me, Lord? Paul said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. What do you want from me? Mary said, whatever you need, I'm willing to do whatever you want. I know you're not Mary, and I know you're not Paul, but you are who you are, and God loves you just as much as he did them. He loves you just as much as he does the next person, because he loves us all. I say, give yourself to availability this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one of you has received a gift, minister to it to one another as good stewards. He said, be a good steward, be a good manager of the gifts I've given you, of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability that God has supplied, that in all things God may be glorified. See, when you're available, God is glorified. I want to ask you this, as every head is bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never really even made yourself available for to let God change your life, to touch your life, to forgive you, to give you a brand new start, then I want to pray for you. You say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord. I used to think I did, but I don't know the Lord. I'm so far. I mean, I don't even know how I got to church this morning. But I heard there was mercy and love in this church. I heard that if you came to this church, that you'd hear a message that God loves everyone and God can change anyone. If that's true, then I want that. If that's you here this morning, you say, I need Jesus, man. I need forgiveness. I need restoration. I need reconciliation. I need transformation. I need a change. If that's you here today, I would love to pray with you in just a few moments. If that's you right there where you're at, I want you just to lift your hand right there. Every head's bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Just lift your hand right there. Just lift it up slightly. God'll see your hand. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you. Your hand. Put it down. Anybody else? Says, you're talking right to me, Pastor. I really, really need a change. I need transformation. All right. You say, Pastor, I used to walk with God. I was available. Something happened. I just kind of fell away. And well, listen, you join many, many people that life gets tough, and sometimes we give up and we don't give in to God. The good thing about that is he's married to you. He loves you. He still wants to pull you back in, and he loves you, and we love you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I used to walk with God. How do I get back to him? I feel so guilty, so condemned. God, the devil's constantly condemning me. I want you to know something right now. The Bible says, therefore, those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. There may be conviction, but no condemnation. God will never condemn his. He'll convict you. He'll bring conviction, but he will not condemn you because he loves you with an everlasting love. If that's you here today and say, Pastor, I need restoration. I need to come back to God. I used to walk with the Lord really strong. Let's lift your hand right there where it's at. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just lift your hand. Just lift it. God sees your hand. God feels your heartbeat. God knows exactly where you're at. He sees you when you're alone. He sees you when you're struggling. And he's answering your call. And lastly, for those of you that say, Pastor, I'm saved, I'm serving the Lord, or I may be visiting here today, and man, this is a tough message because I just came here to get a hold of God. But you know what? If I need to be available to God, if that's what it's going to take, then I want to be available to him too. If you say, God has spoken to my heart here this morning about availability, I want to make myself available to the Lord, to whatever he would ask of me, then I'm going to ask them to sing this song. And as they sing this song, I'm going to open up this altar. If you lifted your hand and you said, I need Jesus. If you lifted your hand and said, I need restoration, man, I've fallen away from God and the devil's been condemning me, then I want to open up this altar. And if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, God has spoken to me about my availability. I have allowed my time and my circumstances. I have allowed the enemy. I have allowed things to stop me from making myself available to the Lord. I have let the devil rob me of time. I want to invite you to come here and make yourself available. You say, Lord, I want to be available to you this morning. I'm here to say, what do you want from me, God? What do you need from me? Some of you, God is calling to be pastors. Some of you, God is calling to be children's church overseers. Some of you here in this place, God is calling you to be a witness for Him. God is calling you to be missionaries. Some of you, God is calling to stand with us in this church and rise up and be a leader. Some of you are called to this city to say, well, I want to do whatever I can do to reach hurting people. I want to do whatever I can. I want to make myself available. Whatever you'd like, Lord. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord,
you can use
me.
Oh, if you can use anything, Lord,
you can use anything, Lord.
Oh, you can use me. You can use me, yes you can. I make myself available, Lord.
You can use anything, Lord.
You can use me. Take my hands and my feet, Lord.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Oh.
Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me.
You can use anything, Lord.
You can use anything,
come on,
Lord.
Sing it again.
You can use
I'm available
me.
To you, Lord. You can use anything, here I am.
You can use anything, Lord.
You can use
me.
Oh, you can use anything.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
Take my hands and my feet, oh Lord.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Oh, take
touch
everything,
my heart,
Lord. Here
Lord,
I am. Moses. Father, you sent him to Pharaoh. It wasn't popular, Lord God, because he remembered where he was at. But you used him. And he walked right into that palace where he grew up at. And he said, let my people go. Lord, Paul had to go right before the very people that he had taught him about God, and he had to speak to them in truth. You see, God will use anyone to do anything that he needs at any time, but it will be him that does it. Don't get caught up in you. First, you make yourself available, but he anoints you. He's the one who supplies all that you need. If you'll let him, if you'll just make yourself available to him today. Thank you, Jesus, for all those here that said, I want to make myself available today to the Lord, whatever he would ask. Before I pray, I'm going to pray for those that need to come to Christ, those that are going to rededicate, and then for those that need to be available. Before I do, is there anyone else? Is there anyone else that says, Pastor, I want to make myself available? You might say, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too busy, I don't know anything. What would I do? You're a perfect candidate. You're a perfect candidate for God to use for His glory and His honor. If that's you here today, this altar is still open. And as you come, if you want to come, you can make your way. But I first want to pray for those that say, I want to rededicate my life, or I want to dedicate my life for the very first time. I want you to lift those hands, lift those voices, and say with me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know I'm a sinner. And I know I need Jesus.